94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. It's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
And that time! Roma have risen from their ruins! Nonetheless, the Greek god in Rome!
All right, Charlottesville, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. This was a request by Alex.
Yes, I wanted to play that. That's one of the best announcing jobs I think I've ever heard in the moment. It was just fantastic. It really just summed up the emotion when Roma came back to score three goals against Barcelona to take a 4-4 aggregate lead on away goals, and ultimately they beat.
Sure, Daniel
Barcelona.
Liked it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean,
but he's not here to comment on.
He's about to have a baby, so congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Before I forget, obviously we're joined today with Byron, the head coach for Seville FC. They played yesterday against Sparta 2020, and we were there for the game. What did you think? How did you think the game went? Because it was, sweaty palms after that one.
Yeah, the first half went a little bit very chippy, and we are a little bit careless with the ball. But I mean, I told the guys, I said we're going to be playing against the wind. You know, just keep the ball on the ground and connect some passes. Don't play long ball, because every time you play long ball, wind is going to kill it, because we don't know where it's going to go after that.
Yeah, so it was pretty windy yesterday.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it low and move it, and I think we lost a lot of balls in the midfield. And not having Greg White in his midfielder, really showed yesterday. But hang in there, even if we went down 2-0, come back to win it 3-2, it was a nail biter all the way to the end.
It was a very special day, obviously, for one of your players.
Yeah, Aaron, the Silva, it was very interesting. He said, "Coach, I'm coming." I said, "Don't come," because his wife getting ready to have a baby. He came in second half and played about end of the came in about the 35th minutes or so. He played about 25 minutes or so, scored a goal, and he said, "I gotta go. Wife having a baby," and he left.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing, because you guys were down 2-0.
Yeah.
I think, with all due respect to Sparta 2020, I was telling this before we went on there, they kind of reminded me of Stoke. You know, the big teams, you can beat the big teams, but can you beat Stoke on a wet Tuesday?
Yeah.
They were set up very, very defensively, and they were kind of taking the chances. And I think you guys did show them a little bit too much respect.
Yeah.
And didn't turn up the pace. And I think Daniel and I were commenting on that.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, somebody came into the commentary box and was like, Ari's not playing. He's obviously, his wife's having a baby.
I sent one of my players to let you know. I said, "Hey, it's Ari's not here because that's what is going on." He said, "Okay." And then suddenly showed up. He said, "Coach, I'm here."
Yeah, because you went 2-0 down very quickly. I mean, it was within a few minutes, literally 2 minutes or so. And I'm just shaking my head oh, dear, what's going on here? And I looked down, and there he is, warming up on the sideline. Comes on. It's that hold my drink?
Yeah.
He just kind of comes in, scores. I think, did he get the assist in the second goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then two all. I'm out of here, I have to go.
Yeah.
He comes right back off again. But, the crowd were clapping and applauding him. But and congratulations, obviously, he's had a baby.
Thank you. It was a nail-biter, but it was good. We got a really good team, but we also have a lot of injuries that we're dealing with, so we're trying to try to accommodate all the other players that, plug to some of the holes that we have, but it's going to take time. So we're on the road next week, so it should be good.
Now, the next home game is the 12th of May. And that's Atlanta All-Stars, is it? Atlanta?
Yeah.
Right. So, explain what's going on between that point. You're doing two away games, is it?
Well, we have, we're going to next week. We are down in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We're going to play with Cardinals.
Right, because that game was that the game that was kind of
3-2.
Oh, no, you're right. There was a game that was canceled.
Atlanta game.
That was it, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Atlanta game canceled. Right. But then after that, we're going to go to Broncos down in the Concord, North Carolina. It was the last-minute team that came in our division. And then we'll be third game. It will be the Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
And then we'll be back home in the May 12th with playing the Atlanta All-Star.
Now, I was speaking to Daniel about this. Now, I know you were saying that like you're kind of taking it as it comes with regards to what goes on after the end of the season. It depends on playoffs and stuff like that. But is it the two top teams that go through the playoffs? I mean, how, do you know how that works? Or?
I do. And I last time, I mean, they explained to us that the league, I mean, group winner of the group, it goes.
Okay, so it's just
so
one
just one team. And I told the guys, I said, I don't understand how the low country, they're still the number one team because they're tied with Atlanta because they had a protest or something. I don't know what happened. And they said they have to play five game, win five game. I said, how that happens when you tie with Atlanta? So we have a 9 point, they got 13, and they have a one game advantage us too. So they already play five games somehow. I don't know how.
The Low Country is the kind of team to beat at the minute. They're right at the top. And we're sitting second, so we're not, you know.
No, I tell you one thing. I saw Low Country play, which is we play with them week before. We end up losing one mistake, one goal. That was it. And they are not that a good team. They only to play a long ball from back to the midfield to the forward. That's it. Three guys. But and I tell the guys, our guys, and they're telling them the beginning of the season that remind them every practice and every game, we are the best team in the league. Talent wise, technique wise, we're the team to beat. But we cannot keep going making mistakes that we do sometime. It's going to happen. You cannot play perfect game. But if we limit the mistakes that we make sometime, we'll be a great team. It's going to be the team to beat in the season.
So is Atlanta a must win?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we should be. There is no problem. We should be winning all three road games in this season.
Yeah, but that'll be a tough one, it seems like, right?
Well, I mean, we beat the Cardinals at home. We know what they are. Bronco, we haven't played yet, but they're not the team. But we got the skill, the pace to do it. And I expect that we can beat the Broncos down to 3-0. But last game of the road game will be the Savannah, Georgia. We beat Savannah, Georgia. Here are 5-2. One of the goal scorers, our own players by mistake, but it happens. But I see that I think our competition is the Low County. And I think we know what Savannah are capable of doing. We can handle Savannah. I don't think we're going to have any problem with them.
You were telling me yesterday before the game that I'm not trying to put any disrespect on Low Country, but their stadium is not great.
Well, I was surprised when we walked there about 2 weeks ago, and then raining. You know, I think the league is a requirement that you have to have a locker rooms and next to the field, closest field, I mean, the building, it was 300 yards away. It was school. We couldn't even get in it. And it was raining. I mean, the field looked like a flower garden. I wasn't joking. And it's lightning and thundering, and we were playing under the tree line, and we sit in the metal bench. Our guys, after the game, went under the canopy in the school, half naked, changing the dry clothes. Because nowhere to change. And they were the one that complained about Atlanta didn't have a proper field and locker room. Give me a break. You just described them.
Right. I mean, sometimes that can be an advantage for a team, though. If you're like playing in a pit that you're used to and everybody else is kind of coming in, it can make it difficult.
Well, I'm not using them as an excuse. But if the league has a requirement that you need to meet those requirements to be has a team that's playing in league.
And the school's got to be open if that's what the locker rooms are. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I told the guys down there, I said, you're going to come to a nice facility, Charlottesville High School. Probably we have one of the best facilities in our division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Right? So it gets to 2-2, 2-all.
Mm-hmm.
Penalty. We get a penalty. There's two England fans in this room.
Mm-hmm.
They know all about penalties. So I have to ask you, do you practice for things like penalties, or is that something that the nerves... I mean, obviously, the crowd, it's not 20,000, but still a crowd there watching you. There's still pressure to win a game. I mean, is that something you can practice for?
No, I didn't, because I have a trust in my guys, and I would never try to just count on the last-minute penalty to win the game for us.
Right.
Long as we prepare properly to go after a play... We should never be come to that. When it comes to, we have a guy, you know, professional guy that will take PKs and they step up and take it like nothing.
Yeah. Do they practice on their own every once in a while, just taking penalties?
I don't know.
Keeper,
I don't see them. Maybe they're doing it their own time, but we don't hardly do penalty kicks.
If you do go to the playoffs, is there a chance that games could go to playoffs? Or sorry,
it will
go
be.
To penalty kicks?
It will be.
Okay, so it goes same thing as like international competition.
Yep.
2 15-minute halves after the 90. And
I don't know if we go 2:15, and I actually don't like to just play extra minute. That's why usually most players get hurt. Just go straight to PK. Just get it done with it. You move right on.
Mm-hmm. So I always find that PKs are quite unfair. The
game has to end at some point.
Yeah.
But it's still not fair.
But I mean, think about American football. Some of the games are entire. How that is possible? You got a touchdown, 7 points.
Byron, you're looking at me.
I'm looking at
you. I know nothing about American football.
It's probably me and Alex Field.
I know. That's why he's wearing Celtic. That's why he's wearing Celtic jersey. He left my new jersey home.
Rangers 4-0. I left my Manchester United one at home.
Yeah, why is that?
Disgraceful performance today. Yeah. A friend of mine, who you might be listening in Evansville, Indiana.
You still have a friend?
Oh, shush you. You ain't coming back. I saw on one of his social media pages, he says, oh, because he's a United fan, and he's diehard United, same. And he, like, every photograph is him with a scarf, and he posts something about, oh, I'm on Netflix, and this new Lost in Space thingy, it ain't half bad. And I said, yeah, well, it's probably better than getting lost at Old Trafford. Because that was just awful. Awful performance today.
Listen, it happened. This is one of the things I always tell guys. And, you know, soccer is one of the brutal sports. You can dominate, you can lose one stupid thing. But when you sometimes your all-star player doesn't, you know, they cannot perform time after time, give you the same performance. You know, it's a human being. You know, it doesn't take much to really turn him around.
But, I mean, we weren't here last week, but, I mean, last week, I was thinking last week was the game we were going to lose. I'll be honest with you. You know, you always get behind your team, but I was going into the City Derby going...
Yeah, you almost assumed that it was going to be a loss.
Yeah, it's a loss. And you remember I was telling you a few weeks back about how I don't watch the games? I don't turn
like
on because...
Yeah, I think you don't like watching them with other people.
No. I don't like watching it live. People are not. When I turn it on, it seems that I bring bad luck. Ah. I brought karma because I missed the first half and I turned it on and suddenly
it was
I was like, hang on a minute. This isn't as bad as everyone's talking about. We're actually playing all right. And then
two quick goals from Pogba, right?
Yeah. It was the Liverpool game.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's so much been going on because obviously Manchester City got beaten, knocked out by Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the
City won the league today as well.
Right.
Yeah. So that's huge.
Congratulations to Christian and Daniel.
Neither of which showed up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be all about it.
They're celebrating.
Yeah, they're at the bar.
I mean, that's what it is. They're all celebrating.
But, I mean, it brings back because we didn't really get to talk about the whole Liverpool. Remember the bus getting hit with all the...
Oh, yeah, the flares and everything.
Because
yeah,
I watched that and immediately thought of, like, River Plate and, you know, the sort of...
Boca Juniors? Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. Dead games are something, aren't they?
I mean, I'm wearing a Celtic shirt. Yeah. Celtic versus Rangers? Like,
that's no joke either, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So
well, I mean, my take on is that at least the Liverpool bus thing, and if you don't know, the Manchester City bus was coming into Liverpool. There were flares. The bus driver couldn't see in front. Yeah, I know. There's a great video that you sent around of the whole thing. It's crazy. Like you literally can't see outside the window. What's so silly is that Liverpool told their fans to come and respectfully like embrace their opponents. Everyone knows what's going
to
happen when you do something like that.
Respect.
Yeah, and then you know, if you're going to do this, you've got to have more police support there and keep them X amount of feet off the away from the road. Yeah. It can't be like that. It was
because there was a police escort, but it was like what, three guys on a horse and two motorcycles, and then a bunch of like 14-year-old stewards who are like, please get back.
And you're like, yeah, okay. And they were throwing bottles at the bus and everything.
Yeah,
and
I don't know much. Super about the, you know, security there, but...
We use horses, Mark.
Yeah, well, okay. No, it just, there was a story a couple years ago where it was Mark Clattenburg was leaving a match, and he, like, ducked out early to go to a Ed Sheeran show.
concert.
And he broke like, I guess all the refs are supposed to leave together, and it's like, do they not have police escorts to, like,
especially
make
if you're
their
Mark
refs
Klappenberg.
Go out? Like,
no, when you're living early, you don't get those.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, you'd think like the FA or, you know, whoever does the refs would, I mean, those people are, they could get beat up. You know, a lot of things could happen there.
Sure, I mean, things would get violent with the sport.
Yeah, I mean, they're the refs. Like, you would think that they would have some kind of a police escort or...
And the refs this year, and really, are not very popular in England right now. This is...
We'll get to Michael Oliver later.
The World Cup, this will be the first World Cup in I don't know how long that doesn't have an English referee in it. Because
that's what Daniel was saying, yeah, because of VAR, right?
Well, not just VAR, but because the English refs are simply just not good enough. Is basically what the world FIFA has determined.
What?
And so, like, Klattenberg was up, so was...
Well, Klattenberg is pretty much retired.
Yeah, but he's in Saudi Arabia, yeah.
That's right.
But
okay.
He was still up for it. He didn't get in, neither did John Moss and Oliver and all these guys, like, because there have been lots of controversial calls this year, and quite frankly, the English refs got them wrong. And it seems like they can't referee a big match, and we saw that again this past week.
Which is funny because Webb, you know, did the, what was it? The
Spain-Netherlands.
Yeah, Spain-Netherlands in 2010, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy that there's no English referee, but also given the track record and what happened this past week with the Ronaldo
Michael
penalty.
Oliver, yeah.
And Oliver basically gave a red, what, he gave a penalty and then he gave a red card to Buffon because he was insulting him. I mean, it was just, you got to have some more. Kind of you got to keep the cards in the pocket. Give them a yellow, whatever. But
okay, so we don't have any English referee. Who do we have?
We got Russians. I'm sure
they have more than cards in their pocket. They're cash. It's going to be interesting.
You got a Visa gold card? Just keep sliding, okay?
Yeah,
it's a rewards card.
I know that Turkey got a referee in there.
Really?
Yeah. So a couple of refs in there from Turkey.
But yeah, the way it works is that you get referees from around the world. So there's ones from, I mean, in Asia, you got one from Iran. I mean, there's Japan, Bahrain. I mean, then of course, Egypt.
Bahrain is not even in there.
But yeah, exactly. Some of these countries aren't even actually being represented. Ethiopia has a coach. The U.S. has a couple coaches that are coming in. Sorry, not coaches, referees.
Right. Yeah, there's two of them, right?
Yeah, there's two of them.
American football ref, did it bring yellow flag?
They need to have some of the Charlottesville refs in there with their caps on. That was hilarious. The last game, they all were wearing flat caps.
I'm not going to even comment on that.
Both of the American guys are in MLS referees.
Cool. So quickly, before we move on to anything else, Champions League has also been pretty exciting.
Okay. I mean, that's
Barcelona kicked out by Roma.
Yeah, Barcelona loses.
Well, I feel like
Barca
got a taste of their own medicine from last year. You know, they pulled that on PSG, and then this year it's like, sorry, you're on the other end of the stick this year.
Yeah, and if you think about it, Roma scored two own goals in the first leg, which Barcelona won 4-1. Yeah. If without those own goals, they would have won it running away, basically. Yeah. And I thought that if you look at the way that Roma set up from a tactical perspective relative to what Pep Guardiola did, it was very interesting to see because Pep played three at the back, and then he played Fernandinho, and then there were six attacking players in a very, very attacking lineup. And then Roma just set up how they normally do, and they just went for it. And so I think that...
But you're saying with City and Liverpool. Like,
but, yeah, but I'm, so yeah. I'm saying, because City were behind and Liverpool, and they needed to make a change, and the idea was to dominate possession. But I think that was a bad move, because you're not respecting Salah and Mane and Firmino, who have all had great years. And
it's a counterattack.
Yeah, you have to respect the counterattack. And so I thought it was silly the way that he lined up. And we spoke to Daniel earlier, and he said the same thing. He's like, I don't understand the lineup choice. It was just bad choices all around. Did you get?
You said, I watched the Roma Barcelona game. I think when Roma looked at it, said first half 0-0 going to second half. With the Barcelona play, they had a chance, and they made the changes, got a goal, and then they bring the Turkish international, Cengiz Under. This guy, I mean, he was a maniac just all over the place, started to put a hard pressure. He almost had a two assist. And after the first goal, he had to take the guy on in the left fullback and cross in the back post, and goalkeeper saved it, and then came back to had a goal and an assist.
All right, guys, the time is almost 20 past 6. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us after the break, 4342849470, if you have any questions for Baron. We'll be right back. And we're back. Good question. Baron, any salsa dancing coming up?
Yeah, tonight.
I'm actually going to go salsa dancing sometime. I was just telling you that, so.
Come on.
I was telling the guys I've got.
I want to see some video of this. You know?
Video feed.
Yeah, we'll
gotta go,
we'll
Alex. You gotta go
we'll
too.
Post it on the Twitter.
Listen,
like if you go, you have to dance yourself, right? Isn't that?
No,
no.
They got plenty of ladies, good dancing ladies, man. They will give you a lesson. Actually, take the time to teach you how to dance. Move
Mark,
your 2 feet.
Mark, you should go.
Mark, this is all you.
I can dance.
Salsa dance?
I don't know about that.
Hip hop it is.
People say that having 2 left feet, and I've got 6 left feet. So you work that one out.
Not good.
No, exactly. I'm terrible. I can't dance.
Well,
can't
don't dance. Worry. They got people that they can separate those legs.
Phil Collins song, right?
Phil Collins
song, right?
Exactly. I can't. Why am I singing now? Well, I can't sing either.
Wow. Well, yeah.
All right. So let's get on. So the Premier League obviously got. I mean, how many weeks have we got left? And City have already won it now.
Yeah. There's five rounds left.
Four or five.
So there's 38 games, and we're at 34 now. So,
yeah, four games.
Well, depending on the team, some teams have played 33 games, some have played 34. So, yeah, I mean, there's.
I mean, I believe they said this is the earliest that a title's been locked up.
I
in
think
a while.
That it was going to be the earliest if City had beaten United.
Did you hear about them? Like, United players were taunting them on the field because apparently City players had booked tables for celebrations, and they were like, oh, you booked the tables? I think we'll take the tables now, thank you. I mean, obviously, congratulations to City. They won. Yeah.
They're we had Otamendi booked for party at 10, but Chris Smalling just came in. I guess we'll give him the table.
All right, so the first game this weekend was actually a really good one, Southampton versus Chelsea. Southampton fluffed this one out.
Yeah,
they were 2-0 up.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Southampton, bottom of the league. Or not bottom of the league, but in the relegation zone.
Does that really matter now?
Well, what I'm saying is they needed the win.
Of course, right.
And they needed the points. And then they were up 2-0. And then Chelsea, 3 goals in 8 minutes?
Yeah, 2-0, 2-0 scoreline.
Two from Giroud.
Very dangerous place to be, 2-0.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I think it's sad to see Southampton going down. Actually, they got a good club, and they got a lot of good young talent coming out of there, especially their academy puts a lot of good players up into the A-team, and then they'll make good money. Now they're between them and the Swans, they get about 5 points.
So what do you think is Southampton's problem? Is it that they've sold – obviously they've sold all their quality assets off over the years. Southampton is a selling club. They've always been that way.
So do Arsenal.
What?
Arsenal, if they kept the player that they had in the past, they could have won the league.
Sure, sure. But I'm not, and we'll get to Arsenal, okay. Right, Mark? So
he's busy.
Yeah, Mark doesn't even want to talk about that. No, but so Southampton. So is sometimes they say it's a good thing to go down so you can kind of rebuild.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, when you're looking at the league the way that you didn't want to go, it's going that way. You cannot hold on to league, so might as well go ahead and sell the player, then make the money, go down and bring the player and educate him, train him so he'll be ready. I think the Southampton's coming back next year. It's going to be hard to keep that team down.
They'll be like Newcastle last year, and they'll be down and then back up.
Yeah. They got a good coaching staff. They got a good staff. I think they have a little bit of problem, maybe the players and the club going on. But other than that, that club is solid. I think they're going to do fine when you come back next year.
Yeah, because Bertrand is probably going to be going to City, and at least that's what the rumors were earlier in the year.
That's okay. Good money.
But other than that, I mean, I don't think that their team is as strong as it has been in the past. They sold off so many of their assets. Van Dijk was the most recent one, of course, in the spring. Sorry, in the winter to Liverpool. But other than that, I don't really see anyone on the team that's like, okay, this guy could go. Maybe Romeu, who played for Barcelona at one point, right? So he could.
He was at Chelsea, I believe, too.
Yeah. So he's been around. He's a solid player, but he's definitely more of a physical kind of enforcer. There's some players that'll leave. He's probably one of those guys. And a lot of these clubs have contracts where you immediately are let out of the contract if you get relegated.
Right, absolutely.
So you can play in the Premier League. Or,
yep.
I will say, though, that we're talking about relegation. Congratulations to Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
They're making it up this next year. I know Ryan Gregg used to be on the show last year. His dad's going to be happy. He's a Molyneux boy.
There you go.
As is Robert Plant. I believe Robert Plant's a Wolverhampton
fan. Every time we mention Wolverhampton, you always have to, like, any club. Mark's like, oh, David Bowie was a fan of that. You know, always, something music.
I don't remember that one, but yeah, I don't know. I don't remember Bowie.
Elton John Watford, the cheerleaders at
cheerleaders
Crystal Palace.
And musicians.
I remember the cheerleaders at Crystal Palace. And the Eagle.
All right. So Swansea versus Everton. 1-1.
So, yeah, I mean, this one was somewhat lackluster of a game, I thought. Didn't catch the whole game, saw a little bit of it. The first goal was an own goal, right? It was kind of a weird one where the goalie saved it, then it went off the defender.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the other one was just, I think it was like another punch from the goalie, which went out to Tom Carroll, the former Tottenham guy, and it looked like he was taking a shot. He completely scuffed it, and it like goes, it would have gone out, like, out to the sideline, but Ayew was there, and he kind of took it on the half volley. It was a nice goal. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of action going on.
All right. Huddersfield versus Watford, 1-0 to Huddersfield at home. So, I mean, Huddersfield, like, where are they this year? Because, I mean, they've beaten United, obviously. They made it difficult for City.
They're,
at home games, they can be.
Huddersfield,
they're in 14th place right now.
Yeah, that was a huge win for them.
35 points.
Yeah, they look like they're going to stay up now.
I tell you one thing. This is one of the teams I think people think they might not be able to hold on to. That. I think they surprised a lot of teams.
Well, that win certainly is going to help them a lot. And so I'd be pretty surprised.
You think David Wanger's hanging around for another year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only thing that would happen is if someone comes and gets him that's a bigger club, which I don't think it's quite to that point.
Right. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either. But I think that if you're not familiar with him, he's half American, right?
Yeah.
So he's but best friends with Klopp, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were training partners, weren't they, or something like that?
Yep. That was funny. I listened to
drinking partners, maybe
article
some point in time.
Article on the bottom. I find out he was a. Yeah, the half American. Okay, the guy is doing so well. Why didn't you bring him, put him in the head of the national team? He'll succeed. He'll pick up the player. They will benefit.
Can't get any worse.
That's an interesting statement, because I thought the same thing at one point, that he would be a good candidate. What are your thoughts on people like a coach like that, where he doesn't see MLS, which is going to be the farm system for a majority of the players on the national team? My guess is he doesn't watch MLS. I mean, I don't know that.
I wouldn't either.
well, exactly. I don't watch MLS. Although I did see that Zlatan game the other day.
Is it something?
First one.
And I made a comment. I said, but what about Jose Mourinho? I said, how do you let that guy go? He's old man. He's just coming and making a difference.
Yeah.
But
going back, so if would you, is how much of a disadvantage if you're not seeing the players in the MLS and being able to really like pick them up? You'd have to have someone else watching and giving
absolutely
you advice.
But, you know, one of the things about you having a great assistant going around just monitoring the kids, really, who is in it, who is not, because I just don't want to go over to U.S. Georgia so I can be in the bench. You have to pick a player that really developed itself to be in it. Being in the national team, it's not easy. And look at the competition that you have around the, just not in the United States, the MLS. You'd be looking around the world. Who's born an American citizen, what league they play. So you try and bring those people in. The competition is tough, but you got to have at least 2-3 good scouting guys that you trust to take their words to put the team together. If it happens, my head's up. I hope he does get it one day, but it'll take him at least 2-3 years to build a good program to compete against go to the World Cup.
They don't have a new coach for the U.S. national team yet.
He's
right?
An assistant coach, I think, right now.
Is that just temporary, or
mm-hmm.
It is
yeah.
Okay? So they actually are looking, huh?
Yeah.
So I mean, they do have some great good players making their way through Bundesliga and places like that. Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, Christian Pulisic.
Yedlin had an assistant.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask you is, what is your view on relegation, pro relegation? Are you somebody that believes that MLS should kind of go in line with what everything else? I mean, I think it hinders the league in the sense that, like, the bottom teams, like, at the end of the season. Yeah.
But, you know, the sad part is they just keep adding team to the MLS, but no relegation. That has to happen eventually one day. because look at the USL. USL put in a great team together, great competition. They play a lot of US Open Cup, beating up a lot of the MLS teams. And that they should be assigned to the MLS, said, hey, come on. We invest our money doing the facility, doing the building stadium. We draw more people sometimes than fans than the MLS team. Why are we not being given a chance to play the next competition? We're good enough. I think it's going to happen, and it has to happen for the U.S. soccer to really be get himself to the next to compare the league and the Europeans.
Money is the big hurdle, of course.
So money.
How would you get around that? Because, I mean, like, think about what was the fee that Beckham and Miami FC paid? Yeah. It was like hundreds of millions, right?
Yeah.
And so if I'm Beckham, why am I paying hundreds of millions when there's like a Cincinnati FC or something like that?
They draw more fans than down in the Miami.
Yeah, I know. Cincinnati FC is. I saw them in the. Yeah. I was shocked at how good they were in the U.S. Open last year. Yeah. But how do you? I mean, you're not.
Well, we're gonna find out who is really in charge of money. Why is not other teams not given a chance to be the relegated? When does that has to happen? But we just keep adding to it. What's gonna happen? Example, we got about 30 deal. Say, you got a 40 team in the MLS. Are we going to divide the MLS to A and B?
That would make sense, right?
Why? So how is it fair to the USL?
No, it's not fair at all.
Absolutely.
Everyone here is pro relegation and promotion, of course.
It's
the only thing that makes sense. And I think that U.S. soccer will be forever doomed until they make that move.
I've been here about 28 years, and since I learn to speak English truly, and people say, oh, we're going to be catching up with you in 5 years, 10 years. 28 years, guys, still not happening.
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of the pedigree of American players, there has to be.
I think a lot of the players that truly deserve to be in the national team, they're not being fairly treated, and it's unfair to those guys.
Is Turkey in the World Cup?
Don't even talk about it. I'm pulling for Iceland.
Pulling for Iceland.
It seems like there are a lot of neutrals are pulling for Iceland.
Why not?
I feel like they're a pretty easy team to pull for. Like, you know, they wear their heart on their sleeves and, you know, they work as a group. And I think you're going to actually, with the United States being out, I think you're going to see a lot of people that are going to hop on that Iceland bandwagon. Like, you know, they beat England.
Maybe Turkey.
I remember talking to your brother after that game. He was like, I don't even know what's going on right now.
And I was in Paris then. That happened. That was crazy.
Well, I think what's going to a lot of people study Iceland, how in the world, last 5 years, nobody heard about Iceland. Suddenly, they're going to World Cup. What did it take this team to be succeed in coming to this level? They started to recognize what they're doing in off-season.
What they've done that if you're not familiar with the Iceland and the FC there, they've poured lots of money into facilities.
Absolutely. Right.
And you have to think about it because Iceland is obviously Iceland.
But don't they have a few? I mean, Gylfi Sigurðsson, he's Icelandish.
Sigurðsson's good. Yep. Obviously, he plays for Everton. Gudmundsson, he's very good. He plays for Burnley. I mean,
yeah. Good Janssen, wasn't he the former Chelsea player?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy
old
as well.
Barcelona fan.
Barcelona as well.
So yeah, I mean they've had good players. That guy that you were just saying was probably their most famous player ever. But they've built up the facilities so that you can play year round because you know obviously there's going to be snow on the ground.
Yeah,
it's sometimes of the year it's like you only get a couple hours of daylight because they're so far north.
You know, everyone's playing Bjork.
You know that Rod Stewart.
I love it.
Rod Stewart used to be a soccer player, right?
Yeah,
Rod Stewart.
Celtic fan.
Yeah, exactly. He used to play in Ireland. They got a 1 year. They got such a bad weather that they couldn't play any of the games, so they canceled the season. He decided to pick up guitar, play the guitar, become a singer. Left the playing soccer and become a singer.
Really?
Mark, you should be doing this portion of the program because it's music related. I'm surprised. Look, Byron's coming in here with some real knowledge. I'm impressed.
I got the music knowledge, but you know, I feel like he's probably got a little bit more specialization in certain areas than me. Probably. I'm mainly a rock and roll guy. So.
I'm going to go out and dance.
Guys, don't forget you're listening to Blokes on the Bench and not, some music trivia show. You can get in contact with us if you have a question for Byron from Seville FC. It's 434-2849-470. We'll put you through. So away from Iceland, and that's probably a good thing, like if it's that cold.
Go somewhere warm.
Where
Miami?
A lot of salsa dancing down there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
All right, so... Crystal Palace versus Brighton.
This was a good game, 3-2. This was one of the ones I had on a couple of the TVs. Crystal Palace won.
A couple of the TVs, by the way.
Yeah, I have three televisions. So
this how many screens have you got though? Like how many projectors? Just
one,
the one
projector.
Just the one giant one.
One projector, two TVs.
Looks like a car
If I'm really trying to, I can bring up some tablets and computers to.
Alex might have a couple sports bars in town.
Every weekend is Premier League on his electric bill.
Like, I'm trying to find my TV remote control so I can turn it on. My dog chewed the three of them this week already.
Byron's got his own problems over there.
Who doesn't?
So, yeah, this one was a good game. I mean, ultimately, Glenn Murray had a couple chances in the second half that he really should have scored, and so... If you're Brighton, you're probably not super pleased with the scoreline in the end, losing. But overall, I mean, talking earlier about kind of where teams are at this point in the league, I mean, Brighton's 13th. You know, they're tied on points with Huddersfield. They also seem like they're going to stay up. Crystal Palace needed this victory. They're just above the drop zone with 34 points. So it was a big win for Crystal Palace. Brighton didn't necessarily need it. So. If you're basically the losers here were Southampton and Stoke, who are trying to get out of the relegation zone, right. with some big wins by teams.
I mean,
like
with
that.
A couple games left, I mean, do you think the table's relatively where it's going to be at the end of the season now?
I can see a few movements at the top. I mean, if United keep playing like this, I can see Liverpool creeping in second.
Well, Liverpool, I don't see that happening.
Because Liverpool have a game in hand right now.
Yeah. We do too. We play this week, right?
No, Liverpool has 34 games. You guys have 33. And so and you're up on them 1 point. So you have a game in hand.
Okay.
And that. So yeah. So I think you guys are gonna be okay. Unless I'm looking at it out there.
Well, we play Arsenal, and I can see us losing to Arsenal if we play like that. Like we did
I don't
today.
Know, buddy.
And then Liverpool I think play Chelsea. And I don't know, that's a game I can't call.
I don't know how you lose to Liverpool. You know, Aston Wenger and Jose Mourinho, they love each other, man. They'll have a fight in the sideline for that game.
You think so? Wow. Yeah, because they've been talking some trash to each other, you know.
I hope so.
They're set to feel for the next game for each other, man. I tell you, it's going to be fun to watch that one.
You just got a boxing match before.
I don't.
Burnley. I did the Burnley.
I feel like that would be a slapping contest.
Oh, yeah.
More than.
Burnley versus Leicester.
Yeah, Burnley get two early goals in the first 9 minutes, which put them up. Leicester gets one back with Vardy. But, yeah, I mean, overall, Burnley's looking good. I mean, Byron came in here making a prediction earlier. Why don't you go on?
Well, I said
Tottenham fan.
No, I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, I know you are, says him.
Oh, okay.
This guy over here.
That's okay. I mean, look at him. They're in Champions League next year, so why are you worried about it? my prediction was that Arsenal is not going to make it European.
Which means that Burnley would be
Burnley would be go to sixth place, finish the sixth place.
So right now Burnley are 2 points back, yep. 52 points to 54.
If Arsenal losing to Manchester United, they're over.
Yeah, and I mean...
End of the season, I can see it might be Xhaka for the coaching job for Arsenal. I think it has to happen.
And Arsenal have some pretty big games with Atletico coming up with the draw in Europa League, so they're going to be focused on that. Just going down some of the games that are coming up that are big for Arsenal.
I mean,
we're
pulling a United this year. You know, that's what Jose Mourinho made the decision last year, you know.
Yeah. That will probably be decided, though, on May 6th. Yeah. Burnley goes to Emirates. That'll be a big game, obviously, to determine what's going to happen there. Arsenal does have a few tough ones with Man United as well and Leicester.
Yeah, that United one's going to be hard to call. All right, guys, the time is now 6:40. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back.
Okay. We never left. I mean, we're still here.
We're here, but we were on a break. Yep. But we're still back here again. All right, you're listening to Blokes on the Bench, guys. Burnley versus Leicester. That was next one is Liverpool versus Bournemouth. And not much of a surprise.
Liverpool just rolled on Bournemouth 3-0. Some good goals around. Oh, that one goal by Salah, the header. You don't see many headers from him.
No,
it was amazing.
That was a fantastic goal.
I think goalkeeper would expect that ball to be just coming his head, like coming out of that way.
Well, it was an early cross.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what it cut
from deep.
Yeah, it was a great diagonal ball in, and And, I mean, for me, I'd be absolutely shocked if Kane can catch up. Kane's a little bit off the mark, I say right now, for Spurs. And so it seems almost a certainty that Salah is going to get the golden boot. What is potential?
He'll win the PFA Player of the Year and the other. I think he's going to win all these trophies as an individual player.
So I was listening to someone the other day. The thing is with the PFA, the player, the professional, like this is the one that's right. voted by the players. They already voted for that like months ago, which doesn't make any sense. De Bruyne could win that one based on that because De Bruyne's kind of trailed off a little bit of late, and they were predicting that De Bruyne was going to win. The players just because of timing of when the vote was
right,
and then Salah would win the media does the other one right.
Well, I think that Salah is going to win the EPL Player of the Year. I mean, he scored over 30 goals. It's insane.
40 in all competitions.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Kane? Is he back or what's going on?
Kane is back. He's been back the last two games. He's not firing on all cylinders. He did get the goal, which was kind of weird last week, where it touched his shoulder. Tottenham appealed it.
You're right.
They were making a big deal about it. And there are lots of people on Twitter, Salah and others, that were just shocked at the fact that the FA reversed the decision. It was very strange.
Unusual that is to be reverse that kind of call.
He said he swore on his daughter's life.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and so he had to like testify or something that it touched his shoulder, and I don't know. I mean, it's kind of weird. But I mean, Salah could potentially break the record for goals in a season.
He's still got about four games left.
Yeah, which I was. Wondering, so yeah, okay, yeah, so it was Shearer scored 38 goals, or sorry, yeah, Shearer scored the most back in the way long ago when it was...
Newcastle, right?
Newcastle.
No. This was
Blackburn.
Blackburn. Yeah, look at that.
Chris Sutton. Yeah, I remember watching them guys back in the day, like 96,
when is
94.
That? Claudio Arena played the time in the for Blackburn.
Yeah, that was before he went to City.
Yes, yeah. He went to Werder Bremen in Germany, and then Blackburn in Man City.
Yeah, and actually, so I'm looking at it now. Most goals in the season, the record's 34. Salah has 31. It's almost inevitable that he's going to break
it. And that Shearer's record.
It's Shearer and Andy Cole. They did it in consecutive years, 93-94, and then 94.
Was Cole playing for United, or was he playing for Newcastle?
It was United. Newcastle United.
Okay. Newcastle United.
So Liverpool this week play with West Brom.
What was Henry's biggest
will have a tune
scoring
there.
Season?
I don't have that up right now. Okay, and one thing to qualify is that's the most goals scored in a season when it was 42 games. When it's 38 games, which is what it is now,
right.
The record is triple owned by Shearer, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Suarez.
Yeah, I remember Ronaldo's name.
So Salah's already tied that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah.
No, I think I picked up Salah to score two goals versus West Brom this week, so he'll be probably breaking them this year.
I mean, do you think Salah's still at Liverpool in 2 years?
Oh, he'll be going next year. Yeah. Forget about two
years.
Yeah,
he's gone this summer.
You think he's gone this summer?
I mean,
where's he going, though? Is he going to Spain or is he going to like City? Or?
I don't know. I cannot see him play to Barcelona. He'd probably go to PSG. But because, you know, you got the argument that Neymar might be leaving.
Right. And go to Real Madrid.
Absolutely. Supposedly. So it will be Salah could be fit on that team.
So, I mean, that would make sense. I could also see him going to Real Madrid as well. Because, I mean, they may sell Bale, and then they would kind of need potentially a replacement.
Do you really want to let play, you know, it's gonna be Neymar-Salah combination?
That would be silly, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, like...
Who's going to sit on the
bench? I don't know. They play on opposite wings, so...
In that situation, I would sit, and probably sell for that matter as well, the guy up top. What's his name for Real Madrid?
Benzema.
Benzema, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, he's depends. Not been playing very well. Yeah. So you sell,
he's past
you sell,
his prime.
You sell Benzema, you sell Bale, you get some funds, and then you
keep Isco.
Isco's been playing lights out. I mean,
but he doesn't always get a start, and he called Zidane. And you know when he scored, I think he scored a hat trick against. I can't remember. It was somebody in the international break. He scored a hat trick against maybe Holland or
Oh, this is that you're saying when for Spain?
Yeah.
Oh no, this that was against Argentina.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
That was against Argentina.
I knew it was a big club.
So let's go. This
I mean, big country. Yeah.
Real Madrid sold Benzema and
Bale.
Bale. They're not gonna get enough money to buy Salah. They're already asking over $200 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going to be potentially breaking Neymar's record. I mean, it's crazy when Salah just went for what 30-40 million last summer, mm-hmm. and it was a steal for Roma, from Roma. It's funny now that Liverpool and Roma are now they're now drawn against each other in the Champions League.
So is this Roma easier for Roma or is this easier for Liverpool?
I think Roma will win that game.
I hope so.
Really?
I'm my prediction, I will win it. I think Roma really there in the truck.
That's who I'd rather see because obviously I'm not a Liverpool fan. No,
that's okay.
But the other tie was what? It's Munich, Bayern Munich, and Real Madrid. So that's the really tough one.
All right, so let's move on. Spurs versus Man City. Disappointing for the Spurs.
Yeah, this one was. If you watch the first 20 minutes, it was just an onslaught. I was listening to it on the radio, actually, interestingly enough, so it was an interesting perspective. But man, that within 3 minutes, Sané almost had an amazing goal. It was like a volley that hit the post. But yeah, I mean, what, Jesus got a goal, and there was a penalty that was awarded that was controversial because it was Lloris took down
best keeper in the world.
Lloris took out a dude just outside of the box, but he called a penalty, and so VAR would have overturned that. I read that this week that they decided not to bring VAR into the Premier League next year.
That's what I thought was one of the reasons why the British refs in the English Premier League were being punished for not in the World Cup was because of the VAR.
No, I think the decisions were separate.
Okay.
So what's going on? I mean, they bring the VAR to the World Cup, right?
Yep.
Yes.
I believe so.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I think they're going to ruin the game.
Yeah, I mean, they very well could. I mean, Spurs have been in some games where VAR was used in the FA Cup, and honestly, it did not work well. It really depends on how they set it up. If the referee himself has to go running to center field to look at a video screen to make the decision, I don't think that's the way to do it. No. I think that's how they're going to be setting it up.
Well, if they're going to do it, just do it. The guys that are up there looking at the video, just talk to the ref, just keep playing. And then say, hey, this is what happened. Just do it.
But yeah, don't I mean, stop that makes the most sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't just stop
the
game.
But that's not how it's going to happen, I don't think.
I got to go to the books.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do you think Tottenham finished then?
You telling me?
I mean, realistically, they're probably going to be where they are now, fourth. I'd love to say that they're going to kind of make a run at Liverpool or Manchester United, but I mean, they're not that far off the pace. I mean, they could be drawn with Liverpool if they just win the next game because they're down 3 points and Liverpool have a game in hand. But realistically, I mean, I see Liverpool continuing to make a run at United and. You know, it's possible they get ahead of United potentially and get third. That's probably the only scenario I see. I don't see them getting ahead of Liverpool. So,
does anybody think they can win Champions League?
Liverpool, of course. Liverpool,
they're in it. So.
Liverpool, I would say, are the most dangerous team with the way that Salah is scoring right now. I mean, only other person in the world that's scoring like him is Ronaldo, and you know we're seeing. Bicycle kicks and all these amazing goals from him.
He scores a lot from penalties, too.
Yeah, which we saw the other day, which we never said. Was that a penalty for you guys?
I didn't watch the game.
No, I don't like Michael Oliver, and I think he has an ego. And I think a lot of times his ego gets the best of him. And you can't... That was not a clear-cut penalty. And we're talking about the 90th minute. I was watching I was watching the game down at Chabin, actually. And we were all enjoying the game, looking forward to extra time. And next thing you know, Buffon sent off. And that's just disrespectful to him. You know, I think he had every right to be upset in that aspect. And Pirlo came out and supported him.
Yeah.
And it just, like... I'm sorry, I'm getting tired of these refs you know, having an ego and making the game about them. Like, the game's not about you. And that wasn't a clear-cut penalty, you know. And like, prime example, so it was Vasquez that went down, right? Higuain, I'm not sure. I would imagine Vasquez is Argentine or either way, him and...
I mean, sorry, he's Spanish.
Okay, well, him and Higuain clearly know each other because Higuain, you know, has his Madrid connections. Higuain's going over to this guy after this happens, and he's just like, really? Like,
interestingly enough, this guy, Lucas Vasquez, he has the most penalties drawn this year, more than anyone
awarded.
Else.
Awarded.
Awarded.
Yeah.
Because he had two really bad dives. He's had four against him, and two of which were, like, really bad dives on second review. This one was debatable, and there was another one that was pretty clear-cut. It's, you know, it...
I mean, Benatia should not have gone in like he did, but at the same time, like, I don't, like, that game should not have been decided by that.
I mean, like, it looked 100%. Like Juve was about to pull off what Roma did, win 3-0 and make an amazing comeback.
And it would have been great extra time, you know?
That would you're not a fan of Michael Oliver?
Oh, I hate him.
You know what, he always makes me feel sick when I watch him, because he looks like he's had a bad curry the night before. He's always pale and
sweaty. I think he was bullied as a child.
Like a vampire or something.
He might have had a lot of chocolate.
All right, so the next game.
Maybe constipated a little bit. Can't wait to get out of there.
Newcastle versus Arsenal. And I do have to give a shout-out to David Rivera, because he is a Newcastle fan. The only Newcastle fan I've ever met in Charlottesville. There's probably more of them, but... Anyway, a unicorn. So I'm going to pass it over to you guys. Arsenal fan, yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Quiet contemplation.
I would say this was a lot about the way the teams were set up. I would say it's a lot about effort, sticking to a game plan. And it looked like, from when I was watching the game, Newcastle had a better game plan. They stuck to it, and they worked harder. They won the 50-50 balls. You know, maybe it's a Europa League hangover. You know, these things will always happen.
St. James's Park, where Newcastle play, they've been playing very, very well there. Mm-hmm. So you have to respect.
I'm not trying to take anything away. I'm not trying to take anything away from Newcastle here.
I mean,
I'm not.
I think I heard that they said that no one had scored in St. James's Park since January. So even the fact that Arsenal got a goal, that was
Benitez
surprising.
Has always been known as keeping a very tight ship. You know, even in his days at Liverpool, like, it was kind of, they knew how to play behind the ball, and they knew how to play when they needed to attack. That Benitez Liverpool team was very much like that. And I haven't gotten to see Newcastle much, but it seemed like Newcastle was very attuned to that, at being able to soak up the pressure and then hit on the break.
And the man of the match was Jonjo Shelvey, who had an amazing ball in.
Former Liverpool player.
Yeah.
But that pass that he had to Perez, which he then passed out to Yedlin, which recrossed back into Perez. It was actually, I think it went into Gale originally, but then Perez got the goal. I mean, that was a thing of beauty, a great team goal all around.
But I think, I tell you what, let's get there. Arsenal, if they cannot beat the Man United next week, if they lose the Atletico Madrid, and they lose their spot to the Burnley, not going UEFA, I expect that something has to happen for the club. Coaching changing.
And just to let everyone know that Byram is available for the Arsenal job.
Yes.
Still.
Throw across the park.
Can I be your assistant coach?
Yes. Bring the goods. It's going to be a lot of party in the sideline.
I don't think he's going, though. I really don't. I think he's just...
I don't
Someone's
know.
Going on behind... Like, the board must love him or something.
They have to, right?
I think the board's the problem.
Well, yeah, obviously the board's the problem. But, I mean...
Purge needs to happen or something, like, at the board. Just get
rid of
them all.
But the thing is that they kept on bringing in more and more players. They just bought Aubameyang and... Obviously, they're sold centers.
I think it's like just on the pitch or something, and it's not behind the scenes. So let's just get more players to try to
I think
it.
One of the best moves we made is we got that guy, Mensalot, from Dortmund.
Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
He's the chief scout, was the chief scout for Dortmund. He bought players like Aubameyang, Pulisic, Dembele. You know, this guy's been behind the scenes pulling strings at Dortmund.
That sounds like a shrewd move then. But when did he join?
Arsenal, probably about 6 months ago. So he has some plans. You know, I'm going to have to say that this is probably going to have to be Wenger's swan song next season.
Well, yeah, because we signed a two-year contract, right?
Yeah, so. And we at this point cannot continue to. And, you know, it's tough. Like, you know, I remember, Andy, when you and I worked together years ago, you know, our conversations about it's tough when such a figurehead has to leave a club. You know, when we were talking about Ferguson obviously. Right. And, you know, like, it's tough because there's always going to be that adjustment time. It's not like somebody's going to come into a club immediately and just the ship's going to keep going the same way.
Right. Well, let me ask something. If the Arsene Wenger was in the Chelsea, it would still be there?
No.
I understand
Jose Mourinho left how many coaches he came and gone into Chelsea?
Yeah.
Man City. I don't understand. If you're going to win a title, you got to bring somebody in. You cannot keep using the same old soap, the smell the same, the stick the same way. You're going to fresh faces. You want something to motivate the player to get going. It's not happening for Arsenal right now.
You're right.
They're going to lose the sixth spot to Burnley. They're going to lose to Atletico Madrid. They're going to beat by the Manchester United next week.
But
there you go.
But sometimes that's a good thing when you're not in Europe. It means you can only focus on the domestic competition.
Absolutely.
And next year, that could actually be a positive for them in terms of less games, focus purely on the league.
And I said this last year when this was all going down, you know, when we were almost going to miss out on Europa last year.
Well, and you're making a pretty good run in it, though. I mean, that's kind of fun, right? I mean, it's great to be in the semis, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I have a little bit more hope than, you know, this gentleman over here, but we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But yeah,
you think that they'll beat Atletico?
I think we have a good chance.
I cannot see that happening. I think that Atletico,
we have turned up for Europa. So
Atletico is a more complete team than Arsenal right now.
But what were you saying that you'd rather? Okay, yeah.
All right. You want to continue? I mean, it's fun.
We can keep on talking.
It does look like we're doing an intervention. Every time. Every time, Mark. All right, so my thanks to Byron for being here.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you all for counseling.
The next home game is against Atlanta.
May 12th, Atlanta.
Yeah, and don't forget to check Seville FC out on my QG page next weekend. When's the next the away game again?
Away game is Saturday.
Perfect. And you're on Twitter and you're on Facebook and all social media, so follow them. All right, guys, we'll be back next weekend. Have a great week. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Byron.
Take care, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.